Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 4, please. Glory to God.
Amen.
Give me a second. I have a little bit of a technical issue. Jeremiah chapter 4. Before I get into my message, I'd just like to thank everybody for this entire week, as always. And you guys did not fail again. You guys were amazing. And every year, it just gets better and better, I think. I don't think I can, compared to last year, was even better. And before that. So just, you guys just are amazing. And I appreciate every single one of you. Those who work, those who cook, those who clean, those who prepare, set the tables, bring the chairs out. I mean, everything just works smoothly, and just because we're here to serve the Lord. And I just praise the Lord for this church and for the blessing that you are to us over there. We would not be able to be on the mission field for over 20 years. I would not be if it wasn't for you here supporting, praying, and just every day helping us and being part of our endeavor over there. It's an amazing thing, and I just want to just really praise the Lord for you. I don't want to boast, I mean, and your head get too big, but I just want to say I praise the Lord for it. Amen. And that's where the glory should be, on Him. Amen. That's what we should be doing, it not to be patted on the back at all. So in Jeremiah chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 1 through 6. It says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet into the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it is. Lord, we pray that you just bless this meeting, bless the end of this conference, Lord. We pray that hearts might be stirred and souls might be reached. Lord, we pray that you just help us through this. Give me the words, give me the utterance that I need, Lord, to speak your mind, Lord, and your word, that I would be in your spirit. Oh, Lord, I pray, bless us, use us for your glory. We glorify your holy name, for thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, this has been on my heart for some time. I've been studying Jeremiah, and it's like I think somebody's mentioned, it's not the easiest book to be studying and to be reading through. Of course, we know this speaking to the Israelites, especially here we're talking to Judah and to Israel, right? We're talking here, they're talking about to Judah and Jerusalem. But it hit me certain things about it. First, it talks to verse 1, it says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me." And that hit me. God wants his people to return to him. And his people have a tendency of wandering off like sheep. And we often need to remind ourselves that we need to course correct our lives sometimes. There's some things we just can't let just grab on the steering wheel and just say, okay, I'm just going to let go and just say, wherever it goes, it goes. No, when you're driving a car, you have to be correcting at all times. And if you just let it go in one direction, you're going to get off course. And the more you let that get off course, the further and further you are from your destination. And we need to be course correcting ourselves. And that's what he said, if thou will return, if you want to. If you want to return, God said, I'm here. Return to me. I want you to return to me. So that really affected me. So I started noticing some things, and I started noticing what God wants us to do, and how are we to be useful to God if we have lost sight of him? How are we to be useful? How are we to be fruitful if we are not close to him, if we have not returned to him? And he says, where are you? If you want to return, O Israel, return unto me. So I notice here some things when it talks about the returning of Israel. He says in verse 3, he says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So the first thing that God is requiring of Israel is to break up your fallow ground. Now, I'm not a farmer, so I had to look it up. What's fallow ground? It's not an easy ground. It's a ground that is neglected, untilled, and unplowed. No fruit is being brought forth from that ground. Fallow ground is not, it's not right ground. It's not good ground. It has potential, but it's been neglected. And I wonder if that's sometimes how we are in our lives. We have neglected our ground. We have neglected our heart. We have neglected certain aspects of our lives that God is saying, "Do you need to plow your ground? You get down and get." It's not an easy job to plow your ground. I've never had to plow, but I've seen what it is, and I have. Maybe I've made my wife some gardens. I had to dig into the grass, and I had to. That's not easy. I got clay on my land. I hate that stuff. It's nasty when it's dry and it's horrible when it's wet. And in only the right amount of moment is just perfect to get it out. And it's not easy. Break up your fallow ground. This takes a lot of work though. And we don't like doing it. We do not like this aspect. And so we avoid the dirty stuff. We avoid the hard stuff because we want to just do the light stuff. We want to do the easy stuff. We want to just take the easiest route. And God said, no, if you want to get back with me, you got to change some things in your life. You got to plow. You got to get dirty. You got to get down. You got to get into it. It's unpopular. It's unattractive. It's not nice. So we like to avoid that subject. Breaking up the fallow ground, of course, we're talking in the spiritual manner, means to plow our spiritual lands that we have. That is not too late. As God says, it's not too late to return to Him. As long as there is life, it is not too late. We have opportunities. You are here for a reason. I hope one of the reasons is either to get closer to God or to get close to God. Because I want or get back to God. That's what I want to say. Because sometimes I wonder where we are. And I'm speaking to myself as much as to you. We lose sight. It's not too late. Isn't that amazing that we serve an amazing God? A God of second chances? A God of forgiveness? A God who sees our faults and sees exactly who we are, but yet He says, return to me! Come back to me! Their spiritual lands once were plowed. I'm talking about Israel. And ready to receive blessings, but they had neglected their grounds, and now their grounds are fallow. They have gone off and served idols and done abominations in the sight of God, and God is not happy. Yet He's still asking and pleading, return to me. You know, a fallow ground is unusable in this state. Unusable. Nothing useful. All it is just takes up space. And I wonder if we sometimes come to church just to take up space. Just to be, just to tick it off of our checklist, I was in church. Are we just taking up space, or are we here to plow our grounds? Are we here to let the Word make an effort and make a change in our lives, that we want to change certain aspects, or are we just taking up space? You know, unplowed ground won't let crop grow. The seed will not penetrate, will not germinate, and will not grow to maturity because the ground is fallow. It's hard. And how many times we've had, even during this week maybe, good words from preachers who came up here and the seed was sown. And how many times did that seed may have fallen onto fallow ground? And nothing will come forth from it. See, that is not our desire. That is not what we are here to do. Our main concern is we want to see fruit. I don't know about you. I want to see fruit. I want to see what God can do, and I have seen, and I want to see more. I am not satisfied with what I have seen. I want more. I want to see more souls saved. I want to see more people come to church. I want to see more people surrender to the mission field. I want to see more people surrender to being ministers, preachers, I don't know, evangelists, school teachers, Sunday school teachers. I don't know. I want to see more people surrender to the Lord and make a change in their lives. Maybe that's you tonight, today. Jeremiah is telling the people of Israel, break up your unplowed ground and stop sowing among thorns. They were sowing seed, but because they didn't bother to plow the ground or pull the thorns, the seed had little effect. In a sense, they were lazy. They just wanted to just sow the seed and let the seed grow and let the seed, and what happens, happens. And just let it grow along amongst the thorns. They wanted the blessings without having to do the work. Isn't that the time of our times today? We want the blessings, but we don't want to put the work in. I mean, that's a generation that we live in. We live in a generation where people expect certain benefits without having to do any work at all. I've seen that in our workplace where new people, young people come in and they expect to have a car, a phone, and an apartment at the very first of the first contract. Get over yourself. But they want it. So what I demand is my rights. I think that's what I deserve. I think I'm pretty good. No, prove yourself first. Break up your fallow ground. They wanted the blessings without doing the work. So what kind of thorns are growing in our lives? What kind of thorns are growing in your lives? Hatred? Bitterness? Lust? Greed? The cares of this world? Isn't that what the Bible says about the sower when he sowed the seed? It said he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Thorns. I wonder how many of us have thorns. And I am not only preaching to you, I am preaching to myself. There's an issue that we all have, and we must all constantly have to endeavor to work on ourselves, to weed out the weed, to get out all the thorns, to get all the plow our grounds. Amen. To get it ready for fruit, for the seed. So we might have some, to be fruitful. I don't want to be unfruitful, Lord. I don't want to be unfruitful. I want to be fruitful. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Hosea chapter 10. Thorns must be pulled out. Are we getting lazy in our Christian lives? Are we getting comfortable with having the grounds that we have without having to put too much work into it? Are we letting the thorns grow stronger, and are they choking our relationship with our God? Do we even notice that the thorns are there? Are we unusable to God because of the state of our fallow ground? I want you to look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Are we there? It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Are we preparing our grounds so that when the time, the rain of righteousness will come, are we ready for that? We must be ready. We must do something. We must work on that. We must plow our fallow grounds. We must work to weed out the thorns. If we go on back to our text, please, Jeremiah chapter 4, we were in verse 3, and I want to go to verse 4 now. He says, not only should we break up our fallow ground and sow not among thorns, he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcision is a form of separation. He wants to separate himself. He wants the Israel to be his and his only. He wants us to be his. He is a jealous God. He does not like sharing. Notice, he says here, he says here in Israel, about Israel in verse 1. He's talking about return to me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Mm. Separate yourselves from this world, the Bible says. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Separate. We must separate ourselves. Of course, we're not talking about a separation completely where we're up in the hills like monks and just completed separation. We're talking about living and doing and behaving. There are some behaviors that are befitting for a Christian to do. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, it hurts. I know. We don't like to hear that. But there are some things that we must separate ourselves and say, that should not be in my life. And I must circumcise myself. I must separate myself. He says, to the Lord. There are things in our lives that need to be cut out. True? There are things in my life that need to be cut out. I can guarantee you. There are things in your life that need to be cut out. If you're being totally honest with yourself and with God, if you don't know what that is, ask your wife. She will tell you. There are certain sins that we need to have taken under control that are unacceptable for a child of God. For example, idolatry. He's talking about here about idolatry in verse 1, is he not? The abominations, that is one of the biggest problems Israel had. And I wonder how much of maybe you say, well, I don't have any idols on my wall. When I converted from Catholicism, I burnt all those. But I wonder if our phones had not become our idols. I wonder if our TVs and our computers have not become our idols. I wonder if our comfort and our status in this country have become our idols. Or the amount in your bank account has become your idol. There are some things that we need to take under control. There are some things that are unacceptable for a child of God. Fornication is unacceptable for a child of God. Alcoholism is unacceptable. Drug addiction, pornography, gambling, just to name a few. You know what you have. You know what you do. You know what is an abomination to the Lord, and you know what you need to cut out of your life. God wants that. He deserves that. If he saved you, if he gave you eternal life, he deserves everything, the best that you can give. He deserves you to say, Lord, I give myself to you solely and completely, and I want to change everything. Lord, help me, give me the strength to weed out the thorns of my life. I want to be the best that I can be for you. Let's not get complacent and just ride out into the sunset. And just think that we're going to just wait until his returning and everything's going to be fine. Let's work on some things now. If ever we want to be blessed, then we need to take away these things. And I have a marvelous verse that says how we can do that. One of my favorite verses in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. Oh, that if only we would do that more often, and we should do that more often. We should live a life of repentance. Oh, we cannot live a life of perfection, but we can live a life of repentance. We can live a life and say, Lord, I know I may make a mistake. I repent of it. I want to turn from it. I never want to go back again. We need to do that. We need to put that into effect in our lives. If we want to be blessed, we need to have a life of repentance where we don't want to serve ourselves anymore. We want to serve. We don't serve the world. We want to serve him. Let's go on. If you will, let's go back to Jeremiah 4:5. We're talking about returning to God and changing some things to be blessed. We're talking here about breaking up the fallow ground. We're talking about circumcision. We're talking about, when he talks about, take away the foreskins of your heart. Then in verse 5, he says, and this really, really hit me here too. It says, declare, ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet of the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Publish, declare, cry, say. All those require effort, a voice of crying out to others and say, come and join me. Let's do this together. Oh, you know how much easier it is to do things together? When brethren are in unison, are have the same, are same minded, like-minded, it's so much easier to get things done, isn't it? Oh, but when you're all alone, you think, nobody's looking. I can do what I want to do. That's what Moses thought. I'm all alone. I can do what I want to do. Well, somebody was looking. But sometimes it's just hard to do things when you're all alone. So he says here, declare, publish, cry, say. Now the prophet is urging the people, once you got your grounds plowed and thorns pulled, certain sins taken away, forgiven, let's say, now it's time to let others know. Now it's time to join and to be united. Please notice that the only and only after we have cleaned up our own lives are we able to start helping others with theirs. It's hard to say you shouldn't do something when you're doing it yourself. Point a finger, three more pointing right back at you. We are guilty of that. You can't be angry at your wife all the time. Well, are you angry at your wife all the time? Well, you can't be arguing and yelling. Well, are you arguing and yelling? Well, you can't be doing this. Well, are you doing that? See, that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's what religion does. They put burdens that they themselves are not even willing to even lift a finger. Not saying that we have to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But we should not have the same kind of problems as the people that we are trying to win. We should have an example of saying, I'm different. Not different because I'm better. I'm different because God did something magnificent in my life that He can do in yours. And that is a difference. And that makes a difference when you can say, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. I know what it goes through. I know how hard it is to plow those grounds. I know how it is to pick those thorns, how often they prick at you and hurt you, and you say, oh, I'm mad at this. Do you get mad at yourself sometimes? Like, why? We should. The preaching of the gospel must come from those who have broken up the fallow ground, circumcised themselves to the Lord, who have taken away the foreskins of their heart. He says in this passage, it says, declare, publish, say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry. Sometimes we have to cry. Sometimes you just have to just yell it out and say, come on. He says, assemble. You know, when I think of assemble, I think of church. The great assembly. Assembling together. I thank God for church. If I had not been taught from a young age that when comes Wednesday evening and Sunday morning to be in church, I don't know where I would be right now. Because it was a habit, a good habit. Those are some good habits to have. When I was told, when the church doors open, you're there. And that's what we always try doing. And that's why I try to teach my children, you must be in church. Why? You need to be assembled with the brethren to keep yourself in check. If you're not there, you let yourself go and the thorns come up and you don't even notice it. And your ground gets hard and fallow and you're like, I'm fine. When you're really not fine, you're just going with the flow. And guess what? Here comes the rain, here comes blessings, and it's just a flash flood right over you. It goes right past you. And you're back to being barren again. But he missed all those blessings. All that rain came down and just went right past you. And you missed it. And you're like, oh, I'll get the next one. Maybe. when will the time be? I think it says now. I think we ought to start now, right? We need to prepare. It doesn't say prepare your ground. We need to prepare. We need to declare. We need to assemble. We need to be taught. We need to be reminded. We need to be rebuked. We don't like those things because that means you're plowing my ground, and I don't want my ground to be plowed. I don't want that. That hurts. But we need it. You need to be taught and told you're going the wrong way. You need to be told that is not right. This is right. This is what the Bible says. This is not what the Bible says. You need to have that course correction if you are by yourself at home. Even if you say, well, I'm going to watch it online. You know how difficult it is to watch things online and not be distracted by everything else that's going on in the house? My parents every evening at home back in Poland, they watch the evening services. I can honestly say, and I'm sorry, I don't always do that. I try, but I got kids and I got life and I got things happening and we have homework and we got school. We got ready for the next day. So it's just chaos, and sometimes I turn it on and it's there. Thank God that is not my sole source of food is being online. Oh, you need to be here. You need to feel here. You need to feel the presence of God. You need to feel. You need to have no distractions. You need to just focus on the Lord and say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to change today? Oh, not say what do you have? What word do you have for my wife or my husband? Or what? How are you going to explain to her how wrong she is? But what can you do with me? What can I change in my life to be a better child of yours? So we need to assemble. And the last thing, let's go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4:6, he says, set up the standard toward Zion. What's a standard? Looking it up, it's a banner. It's something that points the direction. Something that gives people a place of to gather. A reference point, let's say. Right? Oh, that's where we need to be. We're off, we need to be over there. Or it can even be a place of showing that this is the direction we're headed. If we're going forward or we're retreating. We see what's going on. It says, lift up the banner. A banner is a symbol of hope. Amen. Right? Our flag stands for freedom. Our flag, what we have, the American flag, Polish flag, just flags, they stand for something. They have a meaning. They're just not there for show. And when they're flying, they show strength. They show victory. They show safety. It shows the reason why we fight and die. How many people have fought and died for this country? And I'm just talking about physical dying. Physical dying for a physical country. I think the spiritual is so much more important than the physical, isn't it? Amen. I think what we should be doing and lifting up the banner, the hope that we have in Christ, I think this is a good banner. What do you think? How about we lift up this banner? Yeah. How about we show people the hope, the victory, the strength, the safety that you can find in this banner? Amen. How about we wave this back and forth and show people, hey, I got something for you. I know where to go. I know where I'm going. You can come with me. Amen. That's a banner that we should lift up. But do we know this banner? Or is our banner lying on the ground? Not being used. Not being touched. Not being taught to the next generation. He says, lift up the banner. Set it up towards Zion. If you could, real quick, look at Exodus 17:15. Now you just got a couple of thoughts I have here. Exodus 17, This was such a blessing to me when I was reading it. The Lord really moved on me, and reading this passage was such an eye opener on some things about my life. I hope it's a blessing to you guys too. It says here, Exodus 17:15, it says, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now Jehovah Nissi means the Lord, my banner. The Lord is our banner. That is where our strength is. And that is our identity, is it not? The Lord is my banner. Not me. Not my strength. Not my knowledge. Not my incredible abilities. The Lord is my banner. I am nothing without Him. Jesus said, without me, you could do nothing. And we can do nothing without Him. There is nothing that we can do, that we can try to do on ourselves when it comes to the spiritual realm. We are incapable. So the Lord has sworn, and I like this part, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war. The Lord will fight. The Lord is His battle. Amen. These are His battles, and we need to lift Him up and say, Lord, you fight for us. Lord, we lift you up because you are our banner and you are the one. You are our hope. We want people to flock to Him. Amen. This call to set up the standard indicates a call to prepare for battle or defense. One or the other. Because we do have an enemy. And the enemy is out to get us. Not to be paranoid, just to be aware. We have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:7 talks about that. We need to be aware, conscious of that enemy, what he can do. And we need to have that banner. We need to have that. Our enemy. And what do we have? God will fight for us. He is our standard, our banner, our hope, our victory. He is our banner. I read a really interesting story about during the Civil War back in 1862. There was the Battle of Fredericksburg up in Virginia. There was a man called Sergeant Thomas Plunkett, a Union infantryman. He saw the flag fall from a wounded soldier who dropped the flag. He dropped his rifle and picked up the flag and kept going. Right in front of him, a shell exploded. The shell exploded on his left. Shrapnel came, just almost severed his left arm, but bounced off his chest where there was a book on his chest, saved his life, but sliced the other arm and just about severed both his arms in one fell swoop. When the dust settled, he was still standing with the flag flying. The flag, the base of the flag was up against his shoe, and just with his right hand, just with the stub of his arm, he was grabbing the flag and yelling, "Don't let the flag fall, boys. Don't let the flag fall." He was giving his life for a mere symbol for a country. Are we willing to do the same for our Lord and Savior? To sacrifice ourselves to say, I will do everything in my power to not let the flag fall, to not drop and not waste what I've been given and the blessings I have. I will not let the flag fall. I will go on. I will teach all others, and I will show, and I'll be the hero, because God needs people to stand up in the gap and say, something fell, I will pick it up. Instead of saying, well, who else is going to pick it up? Did you know that when the flag falls or when somebody picks it up, that because that flag stands for something, you are in you are the target. Because you have a huge target flying right above you. As you get him. Because that gives them hope. And that's what the devil wants. He wants people to lose hope. He wants us to say, I give up. There's no sense in fighting anymore. If someone like this sergeant can give his life for a country and lose his arms and still yell, "Don't let it fall." Is our banner falling? Do you know the Bible says he brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. We have not only the word of God, not only our Lord, but the banner over us is love. Amen. The love of God. The love that he has given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where is your banner? Has it fallen? In this last part, if you go back to Jeremiah, please. I lost my spot. I will go back. Jeremiah 4. Just in this same chapter, in this same verse, it says at the end, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire. Stay not. Retire has nothing to do with retirement. It means strengthen. Strength. It means get strong in the Lord. Find your strength in the Lord. Retire, strengthen. Don't stand in one place. He says here, stay not. Don't just stand in one place. Get moving. Get going. Don't just stand. And it's time to move. It's time to get going. It's time to pick up that banner. It's time to move forward. It's time to start even a wave of people. Say, come with me. I got somewhere to be, somewhere to go. I want that mountain. Like Caleb last night we heard. I want that mountain. Will someone go with me? Are we willing to pick up that banner? We need to have people to step up. We need to wave it so that people will know who we are, what we have, and who we are in Christ. So let's not be lazy. Let's break up our fallow ground. Let's circumcise ourselves, and let's declare it to the people and set up that banner.